Welcome to the Watch OK Please podcast, a podcast where three friends try to convince each other to devote what little time they have left to watch more TV and or movies than they've ever wanted to watch. Please join us while we argue about our media cues and waste everyone's valuable time on things that just don't matter.
Howdy, watchers, it's Dan, and thank you for joining us in another episode of the Watch OK Please podcast. It's a little surreal that we're already at 44 episodes. Thanks for sticking with us. This week, I resume my quest for anime advocacy with my pitch to Nine and our friend Jason of Black Lagoon, an action crime thriller available to stream via Hulu and Crunchyroll and Funimation. If you're joining in this watch, please check out the first four episodes. This pitch covers some anime history and classification genre definition from my perspective, getting kidnapped from your day job, a possible new segment, and Nicolas Cage's unique and possibly questionable spending habits. We wish to apologize for some audio cutoffs and garbles for which we did our best to smooth over for your listening experience. As a reminder, each new episode will only have one segment, either a pitch of a new show or a movie or feedback from the prior week's pitch. If this podcast is the best or worst thing you've ever heard, please rate and review us on Spotify and Apple Podcasts. And if you hit us up on our Twitter, Instagram, or Facebook page, you'll probably get a possibly informative or witty response from one of us, if that's the thing you want. Finally, if you have a show or movie you want us to watch, please leave us a voicemail on our Anchor page at anchor.fm/watchokplease. All right, watchers, stay on the boat, keep your hands on your guns, and let's get into this pitch. All right, it's Dan, and I'm back again with another pitch. And surprise, surprise, it's going to be anime. So it's been a little while since I did my last anime, so I wanted to kind of go with something that was a little bit different. For those of you who remember last time, I had pitched a movie at one point, but I think the one that everyone's going to remember is, of course, is My Hero Academia, which has reached this cult-level status here stateside, in addition to being a major rager hit in Japan. And so I wanted to get something that was a little bit older, because I think there's a lot of generational gap when it comes to the anime viewing community, where there's people who grew up on certain staples, and depending upon when you grew up, you may have grown up with Dragon Ball, Dragon Ball Z, Sailor Moon, or you might have come in with the Toonami wave, or you might have come in with, you know, a much later wave, you know, Prince of Tennis, K-On!, those types of kind of projects and what there. So I wanted to do something that was going to be still anime to its core, but would have a little bit more of kind of a loose adventure kind of feel. And it would also have a good blend of both drama and comedy. And so I went back to some one of my favorites from back in the day. And this is Black Lagoon. So Black Lagoon, before it came to TV, was actually a manga/light novel series. They basically adapted it into two seasons and a follow-up OVA series. So the basic plot behind this, and before I get into that, you can actually check this out on Hulu. The basic plot behind this is that a 25-year-old Japanese salaryman basically gets taken hostage by a group of pirate mercenaries. From there, basically, it drastically changes the course of his life and his career, etc., and all hijinks related to that ensue. Think of it like the mercenaries is kind of like the A-Team, but like in various different extremes in that regard. And I think that what I really love about this series so much is each one of these characters is so much of a compelling character. But I think they all have their comedic aspects and their kind of more extreme aspects as well. And I think that's really kind of what I really love about the series, in addition to the fact that, you know, there's this backdrop of being, you know, having to deal with a fictional kind of entity or base of operations at a fictional place in Thailand, which is kind of very reminiscent of a certain Marvel city you may have heard of. It, you know, it's home of, you know, pirates, thieves, criminals, all everything, the whole nine yards. So if you know any kind of criminal element, they probably have an outpost or a section or even a piece of the pie there. It's called Ranapur, aka, you know, in Marvel, Madripoor. So it's kind of, I really like that kind of little nod to them. I'm pretty sure it is a nod. I haven't checked with the author, but I'm more than certain that it is. So that's the basic point of this. And again, there's a lot of action. There's everything from, you know, gunfights and intrigue and whatnot, but there is a lot that comes in between, and you get to know these characters over the course of time. And for me, they really grew on me. I just really had such a blast watching the series, and I probably will go back into it and have an probably this is my third or fourth watch of it at this point, at least. But I'm looking forward to it because, again, I feel like the writing is tight. The story is pretty tight. I just think that they just do a great blend of kind of crime and action and thriller, but also with kind of that splash of humor.
So to be perfectly honest, after the day of work I've had, the idea of being kidnapped by pirate mercenaries sounds amazing. I've had the worst day. So
yeah,
I think I love this series, and I if it's possible to get kidnapped by these animated pirate mercenaries, I'd really like to find a way to make that happen.
That's
this
good,
sounds
man.
Cool. This sounds really cool. Like, yeah, it sounds like a fun time.
I definitely think it's a fun time, and you know, I think that there's a lot because of the concept. You know, how many of us have been in a more traditional kind of job situation where, especially again, you know, when you think back to when we were 25, you know, we were all in various different states of our, you know, careers or our lives in that point. There's this kind of maybe an inkling amongst us saying, you know, what would it be like if I had more adventure in my life? And so, yeah, I don't blame you. Even in our 40s, so to speak, I think there's a lot to be said and a lot you can identify with in this regard. So,
okay. Well, this sounds really cool and interesting. So I have like never watched anime before, sort of. I will say the one anime I ever
Ghibli.
Saw was Akira back in the 90s.
Okay.
That's it, which was whatever era that was. I saw it when I was maybe like
still, 14. Still one of my favorite movies to date still.
Yeah, and that's it. That's the last time I think I've seen an anime. So can you like give me a sense of like what to expect from anime? Like I know anime is animated.
Right.
But is it kind of like one of those Marvel shows, but animated? Is it more mm-hmm. goofier than that? Is it more serious than that?
Yeah. Like, yeah. Anime as a genre, and then there's within anime as a genre, there's subgenres within anime. A lot of anime tends to get classified either into that subgenre a la what Netflix would do, saying, oh, this is a fantasy, or this is a sci-fi anime, or this is a romance anime. A lot of times, the classification comes out of the manga tradition in that manga is really kind of compiled into these large compilation magazines or books, if you will, based upon the audience. So shoujo and shonen are probably the two most famous ones out there. Shou meaning little or younger, and meaning, and jo is an affectionate term for girl, and nen is for guys. Those are kind of, you know, so, for example, Dragon Ball Z, which you probably have heard of, is considered part of the shonen tradition, whereas Sailor Moon would be more of the shoujo tradition. The Japanese name of Sailor Moon actually is Bishoujo. It starts with that. So in that regard, basically, the animation style, I think, really drastically differs along the way, because you could have some really extreme, what I call more minimalist kind of artists out there, say like on Ebichu, or you could have things that are kind of more typical anime. I would say like Sailor Moon is very typical of shoujo anime. Very big eyes, very bubbly characters. Whereas the shonen characters, there's always basically, there's super tough guys, and there's guys who kind of grapple with kind of deeper, you know, philosophical issues. And then there's some anime that's more adult driven. That would fall more into the what they call the seinen category, where it tends to be a little more violent, a little bit more out there. And of course, you got the pornographic elements as well with yuri, hentai, BL, boys love. So there's a whole bunch of different like subgenres out there with regards to this. So it's as big as the rest of the larger live action based TV and movies are. There's the same kind of level of depth to anime, although there are trends on certain types of series, certain, you know, genres that get more popular at different points. You know, for example, sports animes have had a huge resurgence in the last 15 years, where there was kind of a proverbial drought for the longest time, except for maybe Prince of Tennis, I think, which came out in the early noughts. There was like
I'm going to stop you right there. What's a sports anime?
So it's an anime that is based around or follows a team in some sort of sports kind of mindset. So the earliest one that I remembered, you know, growing into the fandom was Slam Dunk, which follows a high school basketball team and pushed to, you know, go to the championship. So it's so different than your Bad News Bears or any, you insert, you know, more kind of high school based sports kind of thing, Friday Night Lights. You know, there's a lot of different things you can kind of pull from that. But there's ones, again, Prince of Tennis, I mentioned before, that's tennis. There's a whole bunch of ones that deal with cycling, that deal with track and field. You name it, there's probably one out there. And baseball, of course, is huge because the Japanese love their baseball.
All right, cool. So are we ever going to see like a Michael Jordan anime or?
I mean, it wouldn't be impossible. I mean, again, I think obviously he'd have to sign off on that kind of thing. You know, I mean, and obviously I think that the current, you know, documentary has kind of got a little bit of that cornered right now. They could do a retrospective, you know, about a theoretical Japanese center from the middle of nowhere, basically coming in playing the NBA or something like that. I could definitely see something like that happening.
Okay.
But yeah, but again, this series, like I said, it's a little bit more like kind of like I said, it was a little bit like an A-Team meets kind of more modern series. I think of the episodes that I remember that I think have the kind of balance between action / drama / comedy that Chuck has, for example.
So would you say, is there a particular member of the A-Team that if I had more of an affinity for, I'd like the series more? Like, because I'm a Murdoch fan. If I was going to pick a member of the A-Team to be a fan of, am I going to get a lot of Murdoch type stuff in this? Well, or
there's different archetypes that, you know, people in the A-Team emulate, and you get some of these archetypes in the mercenary team and even in some of the people that they deal with in the larger ideas. And so there, I think that you'll find elements of him in one or two of the characters, I think, but it's not going to be him per se, but you're going to get kind of essences or flare-ups of that, I would say.
I'm okay if we just have a van that's like the A-Team van. I'm good with that.
There's various different vehicles that they use. I think that there is one specific character that you're going to like a lot, but for different reasons.
Fair enough. Curious about that. Should we be watching this by the subtitled version or the dub version, or does it not matter?
It does not matter. The dub version, in my opinion, is actually pretty decent. So again, especially for Jason, again, I know you watch a lot of stuff with subtitles, so you can go either way probably on that. But again, if you're wanting to see or view more of the action, some people like to go with the dub because this way they don't have to pay attention to that. But I leave it up to either one of you. I personally have always watched in sub because that's just kind of who I am. Although, again, every once in a while I'll check out, you know, an episode or so or a half episode or so of the dub just because I'm kind of curious to see who they casted and, you know, what, you know, kind of voice they brought to it. But I think either one are fine interpretations, I think.
Maybe I'll go wild and I'll do like some episodes dubbed, some episodes subtitles.
Yeah. Yeah. So this is sequential. There is an underlying, kind of plot that goes throughout kind of the first season. So I am going to recommend you go in order. So these are like, you know, just like with typical TV anime TV series, these are in that 20 or so minute mark, you know, give or take the ending and opening credits. Although the music in this thing is also really awesome. I really enjoy the music in this as well. And so I think you could probably get through a good at least four of them. So I'd go through 1 through 4 and that should definitely cover you.
Cool. How long is the season, out of curiosity?
The first season, I want to say it was 12 episodes.
Okay. Yeah. So it's like,
yeah, first and second seasons were both 12 episodes, and then the OAV was a 5-episode OAV.
What I don't know what OAD stands for.
So OAV is original animation video, or basically direct to video, basically. So there
movie, but it, you know, wasn't released.
They usually do it as a movie, or they break it up into episodes. But again, the advantage of doing it there is that you don't have to cut it down for TV's lengths for commercials, and you also don't have to deal with certain, you know, constraints of, oh my gosh, you have to get the episode out for this week kind of thing. You have a lot less pressure. So often, you know, back in the day when everything was hand drawn cells, back in the day, I'd say that. Mm-hmm. The quality and OAVs tended to be better because there wasn't a specific timeline usually in place. They said, oh, we want to release it at some point in the fall or in the winter or something like that. There wasn't like kind of a concrete deadline where, oh my gosh, you have to rush through this. We have this out by August 31st kind of thing. There wasn't that kind of push for the original animation videos, I think, in my mind.
So is this generated, or was this like literally hand drawn? Do you know?
I believe this was this is in my madhouse. So I believe this is right on the cusp where they started kind of moving into more of the computer based items. So I believe that there is a blend of it at this point in the game.
Got it.
And so outside of the one character you mentioned that you think I'd have an affinity with, is there anything else that kind of sort of the wackiness and the A-Team appeal of it? Are there any other things that you think that might draw us into it?
If you want to preview the characters, I'm happy to give you a handful. I mean, basically, the group is headed by a former U.S. Navy patrolman, And so he's the lead of the group. There is a main gunfighter who actually is of blended descent, Chinese and American. There is an American college dropout who is a super genius who knows everything mechanical, computer researching, etc. And then they have a bunch of other people that they interface with. But that's kind of the main crew right there. But there are a bunch of other kind of other characters that you'll see as the series moves on. Antagonists and other people that help them.
So a whole bunch of these characters are Americans?
They're blends of American and other descents, basically. So the idea is that Rwandapur is like very much a place where all things seedy and somewhat illegal or definitely illegal kind of come to live. And so you'll have a blend of the same types of people from all over the world. So it is international in some ways, but it's a different type of high of a scum and villainy, so to speak.
Got it. Where do you think this is loosely? Because this has got to be based on something, this Rwandapur. Do you think it's like sort of like a seedy Singapore or something like that? Or
it takes place in Thailand. So you could say there are various parts of Thailand that, you know, that might kind of fit the bill. Or you could say this is kind of more seedy, you know, Singapore, if you will, in that regard. Because, again, it's fully international. There's all these different places of it. Like I said, I really feel that, you know, that the majority of this inspiration did come from Marvel's Madripoor. That's what I really believe conceptually.
Now, now that you've mentioned Thailand, I want to know if this was ever related in any way to the movie, the Nick Cage movie, Bangkok Dangerous, which I never saw, but I saw like the trailers of, and I'm like, he just does weird stuff. Like, why? I could easily see him like financing a movie that somehow related to Black Lagoon and just went off the rails with it. So maybe that's just a bonus watch for me, because I just didn't watch any Nick Cage stuff in a while. And it'd be hilarious if this was connected in some way.
Yeah.
I think you have it backwards. I don't think Nick Cage finances anything. I think Nick Cage will do anything for money.
Ah, fair enough.
100%. I've not seen the new movie yet, but I'm kind of tempted to go see it. So.
He did have that obsession with Superman for a while, though, where he was like, I really need to do a Superman movie. So I thought he was financing something in that regard.
Oh, that's right. I think mostly you're right. Yeah. You know, he like sued his financial advisor because he went broke.
Really?
Yeah. He like went broke, sued his financial advisor, and then his financial advisor pulled out like many, many emails and records saying, no, we literally told you to do the opposite of everything you did. This is 100% on you. We kept telling you to spend less money and you totally ignored us, and he lost the case.
Oh my, I would love to go through the discovery in that case. That sounds insane.
up your alley here, yeah. Yeah.
My God, that's ridiculous.
Yeah, he apparently has like a terrible spending problem. Like, he just can't like help himself. He just buys stuff and then he runs out of money. And then he's like, what job can I get right now? I need to be paid today in cash.
That explains so many projects.
Yeah.
Really does.
Not to get us off subject, but you know,
yeah,
fair enough.
Nick Cage, you got to talk about Nick Cage when Nick Cage comes up.
Yeah,
of course, yeah. And one thing I forgot to mention earlier when I was just describing the show, there's some critics that kind of liken this to an Earthbound Cowboy Bebop, and I do get it, because the music does have a little bit of kind of a jazz element to it at times. And like I said, the characters are really dynamic and there's a lot of edginess to everything. So I do get what they're saying there, but I think, like I said, there's so many more influences that are coming out of this series. I think, you know, from various different places, from the original creator, Ray Hirue, and as well as the, you know, the producers and direction that came out of this. So I sometimes will throw in a fan's view interpretation of that. That's not my opinion. Just kind of give context to what I'm talking about.
That might be even more of a draw for me, because I definitely enjoyed Cowboy Bebop, not the original anime. Not I haven't seen the live action one still. I'm still behind, but
it got canceled anyway, so there's no rush now.
Fair enough. Yeah.
Yeah. Why do they do that at Netflix?
Again, if it doesn't reach the critical acclaim, you know, like within the couple of days, they pretty much give it the axe at this point.
Right.
You know,
exactly. And then it never gets. Everyone's like, well, it's canceled anyway. There's no point. So I don't even want to start it and watch a show that's just, you know, going to be unfinished.
Yeah. Yeah. Again, and I would have loved to have seen more of that superhero one that got canned. Union, the one that's based on that graphic novel. I can't remember it. It's not Guardians. It's it'll come back to me later. But yeah, again, I agree. There's a lot of things that just get canned like almost immediately.
And I think it seems like rare for someone to pick up something that Netflix has dropped. Like the only example I can think of off the top of my head is Tuca and Birdie, which got picked up by Adult Swim afterwards, which I'm still surprised that got dropped after the success of BoJack Horseman and the fact that that got such critical acclaim and went on for like 5-6 seasons.
Right.
Tuca and Birdie were definitely in that mold. And then they were like, after one season, nah, fam, like we're out. So,
yeah. Well, again, I think it's very interesting to see how there is a cycle. I mean, you remember even in television, you know, there was the must-see TV lineup and like where you literally stayed to watch up like from 8 p.m. until 11 p.m. on NBC, right? But then like within, you know, 6-7 years later from there, they were no longer a dominant force in the same regard. So it was very interesting how there are cycles even in streaming as it relates to kind of how TV was.
Yeah. No, that's fair. All right, man. I'm looking forward to this. I think this will be kind of a fun watch. I think it's something I need to relax, especially after a stress week at work, which I know the rest of this week will be. So I'll just be dreaming about being kidnapped by pirate mercenary.
Yeah. I'd say this is definitely a great watch with a nice beverage of sorts. It be beer or something a lot stronger.
Beer is just a off point. It's like bare minimum beer. Or, you know, pick it up, you know.
Yeah, or either that or just, you know, have your glass and keep the bottle next to you. Either way.
All right, yeah, I'm excited too. This sounds like it's going to be a lot of fun. And I'm really, like, very new to anime. So I'm looking forward to giving it a try and seeing what I think.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to hearing what you think. And Ian, obviously, you know, I've put you through a lot of torture as it is already on the anime front. So hopefully this will live up to some of the expectations.
Yeah, no, this one sounds up my alley. So some of the stuff you've thrown my way has definitely been not my cup of tea, but this does sound like it's right in my alley. So look forward to it.
Ooh, I got a question. So yeah. I'm always looking for shows I can watch with my kids. Ooh. Do you think, you know, they're 12 and 14? Do you think they would like this, or are they going to call me a boomer for watching it?
That's actually a really good question. So there's nothing too, I mean, it is violent at certain points. And I'd say the OAV at the end of it is probably the most violent probably there. But other than that, I mean, there are elements of some sexual stuff, but nothing too crazy overt, nothing overtly pornographic even. Typify this as, you know, crime and thriller and action, but again, I think there's a nice blend there, and I think that there is somewhere between, like I said, A-Team and Chuck, maybe with a splash of Cowboy Bebop. I think that there's a lot to be enjoyed from this. I think it's maybe worth a shot. I'd say give it a shot. Have them watch the first two episodes. Again, they might not identify with the main character so much, but they may like some of the other characters that they meet up with. So,
all right, I think I'm going to try and rope at least one of my kids into watching an episode or two. And
if nothing else, I think this will at least lead to a new segment on the podcast called Okay Boomer, where we try and figure out whether or not your kids will call you a boomer after watching the show.
We were practically millennials, and you'd be amazed how often I get called a boomer.
I literally say okay boomer to Kate any chance I get, and she says you're using it wrong, and I don't care.
we could also, we have to have like a scale here, you know, if it's not The Conjuring, I'm not going to watch it. Right. Oh my gosh, this is the greatest thing. This is the greatest thing since dabbing. So.
Nice.
I was almost yeeted out of my seat.
There you go. All right, man, let's do it. Well, that happened, folks, which brings us to the end of another episode of the Watch OK Please podcast. We hope you had a good time listening to us spout more nonsense today, and hope you join us next week for another exercise in futility. In the meantime, please rate and review us on either Apple Podcasts or Spotify, or just tell a friend about us. Until next week, keep on watching.